Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Morris Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Sahaka Amana El Bay, and this evening we got a ton of information to get to you. We're going to do everything that we can to try to bring all of this to you tonight, but if not, we'll probably end up having to have part two of this broadcast. Tonight's broadcast is titled Birth Certificate and Executive Estate. The question we'll be wrestling with is, how valuable is your birth certificate? Is your birth certificate a bond? And if so, how much is it worth? Were you denationalized at birth? And what does that mean? What proof do you have of denationalization, if you have any? Can you profit from being denationalized? What steps do you take? Do you have an estate? Are you the executor of your estate? What is an estate letter? Who gets the estate letter? What proof do you have of your estate? Who have profited from using the estate letter? What is the government's position involving your estate? Does your estate interfere with your nationality? These questions and more are going to be answered tonight as Morris Talk Live 100 breaks open something that's very, very interesting, very, very valuable, and a point that we really need to get solved here this evening, because we got a lot of brothers and sisters that's out. They're filing the UCC-1 statement. They're putting in the change of name. They're doing the secured party creditor. And we got people that are selling these type of documents to people and making hundreds of dollars. And the people that's are going through the motions of trying to do this thing is not benefiting anyway, any kind of way. Now, what we're going to be dealing with now is, I got documents that's taken directly out of Tahaka's library. That we'll be dealing with, and keep in mind that the information that we're dealing with is inside this library, and we got the entire manual there. We have the instructions, step-by-step instructions of how to do this is there. We also have sample materials for you to look at, so you can't go wrong in executing this and making this a reality for yourself, okay? Involving your birth bond. We also have done more than one broadcast on your denationalization. That is there as well. In order to access this library, which is one of the most comprehensive libraries inside the United States, you simply contact me, Tahaka Amana El Bay, at area code 904-303-9061. Please call me before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we get you hooked up with this library with this information in it. Okay, starting out, the first thing I want to make mention of is we're going to do our advertisement here. We got a brother that do computers. If you are in Alaska, if you are in California, if you are in New York City, if you are in Miami, it doesn't matter where you are, you need to call Marvin McCoy if you have a problem with your computer. And the telephone number to reach the brother is area code 904-517-4688. That's 904-517-4688. And Marvin will take over your computer by remote, and he's going to deal with your viruses, if you got viruses, if your computer's crashing, or whatever issues that you have with your computer, you can call him. He also deals with the XL gamers, Xbox, PlayStation, computer repair, game modification, disc card, game package. He's located right here in Jacksonville, Florida, across the street from Gateway Shopping Center in the Beef Flea Market there, lot C1 and C2. That's Marvin McCoy, computer man. He built computers from scratch. He does remote. And just tell him that Tahaka is the one that sent you over there so he can know what kind of service to give you. The brothers are very good at his work. Okay? Also, on the 19th and 20th of May, we have Dr. Booker T. Williams, that Booker T. Coleman, will be here in Jacksonville, Florida, live, and he'll be accompanied by Brother George Coswell, and he'll be right here at 1625 North Pearl Street, and you can call Brother Umar Sharif for ticket information at area code 904-359-0980. That's Booker T. Coleman on the 19th and 20th of May, right here live in Jacksonville, Florida, accompanied by Brother Joseph Coswell, very, very powerful speakers, and so don't miss that. Also, Brother Umar Sharif, he has his own bookstore here. He's got books. He's got your educational CDs and DVDs. Got black soap. I don't know why I do that every time. Moisturizing lotions. Imported goods, all type of products and stuff, incense and oils and stuff. And you can visit him at www.salammasjid.com, or you can call him at area code 904-359-0980, and the brother will be able to assist you with that. Also, we got one more brother, Brother Marshall Shelley. He's right there in Marietta, Georgia. And once again, it doesn't matter where you are inside the United States or Alaska or where you're calling the brother from. He can take over your computer remotely. He offers computer repair, installation, network installation, data recovery, virus removal. He upgrades your computer, and he also custom builds computer. And that is Marshall Shelley. To reach the brother, you call him area code 757-218-0731, and he'll be able to assist you. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get down into this broadcast here. And the first thing we're going to talk about is the denationalization. I'm going to lay this out for you, try to make it as simple as possible for you to understand. We're going to start with the 13th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, which was abolished under executive order of the President of the United States. Now, what that means to abolish something is to completely and totally do away with it. I mean, the relationship between the slave and slave master ended. The all names associated ended. Everything that has to do with the slavery came to a halt under the 13th Amendment of the Executive Order of the President of the United States. But what we have inside the United States is we have millions of people of African descent who are suffering today from what's called denationalization. Okay, now denationalization is a crime, and that particular crime ranks up there with genocide. It ranks with treason and highest crimes in this country. And the reason it is a crime is because when you are born, your parents were issued a life certificate of birth, and you have landmarks on that birth in the form of your footprints. But your parent was duped at the hospital and wasn't labeled as the mother or father or parent or guardian. They were labeled as informant. They are informing the bank that they have brought a new product in the world instead of a living, breathing being. Now, this is where we get off the track at. Your mother and father was given a certificate of birth, but the birth record, which is a bond, was sold on the New York Stock Exchange as Discount Securities worldwide, and it's still being traded. Even after you die, this thing is still going on. Now, what we have here is we have mother and father who's listed on there, their names are there, but then we have the area where it calls race, okay? And we have Negro, we have colored, we have black, and all of these different things. Well, all of that was abolished under the 13th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, but yet it appears on your birth certificate after that been abolished, which is, makes it a smoking gun. Then on top of that, we have the state wherein you were born that has the choice of accepting or rejecting the 14th Amendment, that has accepted it and has allowed you to be denationalized by accepting it, has placed a stamp on it. So the entire certificate is a smoking gun. And the way you capitalize on that is you sue. I'm just going to put this in a nutshell. But right here, I'm coming from our Black's Law Dictionary. This is the 6th edition, and it says right here under denationalization, as applied to a person, the act of depriving him of national rights or status, as applied to an industry, a function, the act of returning it to private ownership and control after a period of national or sovereign ownership and control. Okay? So that's clear and concise and to the point. The definition of denationalization, which has occurred throughout the entire United States, and it is estimated that that birth bond is worth, from the day you're born, between $30 and $33 million per year. For every year of your life, all the way up until your current age, because of the denationalization and because it is a birth certificate, which is an estate. Now, we're going to get to that later, but we're dealing with what has taken place. So now we have people of Moorish descent, of African descent, Moorish descent, inside the United States trying to fight for rights, trying to fight for civil rights, being shot down in the streets, being imprisoned as if they have no kind of right whatsoever. It is because they are being regarded as not as citizens of the United States, but as property of the citizens of the United States, and being deemed as they have no value whatsoever. Even soldiers, when you're joining the United States military and you're going overseas and fighting these wars, when you're killed, you are not labeled as a soldier. You are labeled as a contractor or an instrument because you are not a citizen of the United States. You never were. You are not now, and neither can you ever be a citizen of the United States of America. The United States of America is no longer a country, it is a corporation. Just like Walmart, just like Sears and Roebuck, just like JCPenney or any other corporate enterprise. And we have president, vice president, all of these are people who are president and vice president of a company, of a corporation. Okay? Now, in order for them to maintain this enslavement and capitalize on their investment in the use of that birth certificate, what they got to do is they got to make sure that you never know these things and that you never know how to capitalize on these things. And so they've placed you, reenacted the 3/5 clause of the Constitution of the United States, and they have added the 14th and 15th Amendments to the Constitution and label you as all persons, okay? When we look up all persons in the Black's Law, I tell you the same thing. It says sea monsters, not a living, breathing person, anything other than that. And even our third-grade grammar teacher told us the difference between a proper noun and an improper noun. If a noun is in upper and lowercase letters, that is a proper noun, especially when it refers to a person. But if it is in all capital letters, that indicates anything other than a living, breathing being. Of course, those are Moors who are listening, you know what I'm talking about, your driver's license, your Social Security card, your bank statement, your paycheck, all these things have those capital letters on that, okay? Now, I wanted to point that out so that we would know what we got. And for those of you who plan to take advantage of the denationalization situation, it behooves you to try to do it with other people involved. Okay, it happened much faster. For if you make it class action situation, we are currently involved in the situation right now where we are putting this thing together. We're also in the final stages of the executive account executive estate situation as well. And the gold seizure of 1933 has already occurred. House Joint Resolution 192 is in place. There's no gold backing up the currency and stuff, so we have fiat currency. So therefore, what we have is a situation whereby some things need to be brought to light. And what we have done is we've put together this library for you as a remedy. This is not somewhere where you just go to study and nothing happens. This is a place where you go and take the information and use it and succeed with it. You make the transformation with it. This is a tool that is put in remedy for you that we put together for you. And the way to access that is simply by contacting me, Tahaka, at 904-303-9061, and we'll get that to you. Okay? Now, let us go on to the next step. And the next thing that I want to talk to you about is we want to make sure that we clearly understand that your nationalization is your political and legal status, okay? Now, everybody in the world has a nationalization, but people inside the United States of America that's been classified as Negro, colored, and black, which are labels, do not have a nationality unless they proclaim their nationality, okay? And we want to make sure that as long as you are outside the constitutional fold of government, you have no support. You have no protection. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk to you about some things that you can use with what you already got. But I do not want you to forget the fact that you still need to have your nationality proclaimed. You still need to be inside the constitutional fold of government for support and protection, okay? And we're going to point that out later on in the broadcast. Now that we got this stuff out there involving the denationalization, your birth certificate and all of this stuff understood, and I'm hoping that you really understand this thing, let me move on to the next thing. Those of you who are on our social sites, if you're on blog, if you're on Black Planet, MySpace, or Dig, Twitter, I need you to send me a request because we're posting information, we're posting articles, we're posting shows there for your education purpose. So when you get out from work, if you don't have time right now, you can come back later and be able to go right there and take your time and listen to the information so you can make the necessary changes in your life. So I need you to write my name down. That's Tahaka, T-A-R-H-A-K-A, Tahaka, T-A-R-H-A-K-A, Amana, A-M-A-A-N-A, and then L-B-E-Y, E-L and then B-E-Y. If you would send me your friend request right there on Facebook and stuff, I'll go ahead and grant it. That'll give you access to my wall. Now, I've been banned off Facebook. I can't post nothing. I can't put up a video. I can't send you a note. I can't do nothing. I just barely can grant a friend request. But I can't collect any friends. I can't post an article. I am under tremendous attack like nobody's business. Because of the truth and stuff that I try to put in the hands of my people. I've never seen anything like it. Everybody that comes around, they say, well, you know, there's people that's doing 10 times more than you do it. Why are they picking on you? I said, well, it's because of the truth that I'm teaching. I mean, I was, you know, it's come out of nowhere. Well, you banned for 30 days because you befriending people. And you are, you're no longer able to even post anything with your friends. That's a crime, too. So you block over there, too. And you're not even allowed to post anything on your own wall, you know. So it's amazing, but I am not deterred. I must press on And I just wanted to point that out to you. So if you send me your friend request at Tahaka Amana El Bay, I'll go ahead and grant it, and that'll give you access to where I'm, and you can do what you got to do. Okay? Now, the next thing that I want to talk to you about is I want to talk to you about the Social Security Trust. We're going to try to cover as much as we can, and I'm right here in the manual, and it says the Social Security card is proof of a trust, not an estate. The Social Security account is connected to everything you do in the world, and all paperwork is directed to the Social Security number. Trust, assuming that you are the trustee and therefore have the liability. When being served for collection of a credit card, etc., the Social Security Trust account is being sought. Okay? Since you've abandoned the executor office, they are probating your estate. They raised a constructive trust in equity to give restitution and reimbursement to the plaintiff and appointed you trustee. It's all hidden and all fraud. Okay, now, what are we talking about here? Okay, let's go back to the birth certificate. Remember what I told you about when your mother brought you home from the hospital a few days after that, she received a letter in the mail of a birth certificate with your footprints on it, with your landmarks. And that was the government's attempt to acknowledge the fact that there was a trust set up in your name and for your protection, okay? The only thing that they did not do is they did not put next to your name, they did not put the fact that it was a state, an estate. They didn't put that office there for you. It was up to you to try to figure that out, okay? Now, that particular estate is worth a great deal of money, and we're going to get to that. Okay, now I'm going to go on and move past this here, and we're going to the something that's very, very important here that I'm going to have to get to you, because it's all involved in dealing with your estate, which is your birth certificate. It is an estate. Okay, now this is vital to exercising your power with the estate. We're going to give you a historical background of the General Post Office. I know that seems kind of odd, but it's going to play a very, very integral part in what you need to know. And keep in mind that everything that I'm reading to you here this evening, we have it right there in the library, step by step, so you cannot go wrong. I'm just giving you a brief synopsis of what's available to you when you get ready to exercise your authority and take advantage of this thing and turn it from paper into dollars, okay? It's a historical background of the General Post Office. The General Post Office has its beginning in Scripture and is established and continued by post treaties. General Post Office is the post office generally. The post treaties are general post to general post. The post office is the largest bank in the world and has the most branches, branch banks. Jeremiah 51:31. One post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end. A post is another name for a courier. The definition of the word post originally meant any of a number of riders or runners posted at intervals to carry mail merges in relays along a route, post rider or courier. Webster's New World Dictionary, Third Collegiate Edition, 1988, page 1054. The posts were initially set up for governmental purposes between different rulers in their own country as well as neighboring countries. But there was another entity known as the General Post Office, which was not for commercial purposes and was strictly for fellowship between the brothers, and they did it among themselves. Paul's letter was not delivered by Caesar's men, but by brothers in Christ, and that is the General Post Office. Throughout history, there has always been the General Post Office and the governmental post office, and they are different. One strictly for fellowship, the other for commercial purposes. The current postal system, which is known as the United States Postal Service, is commercial, but it still retains a non-commercial aspect. It's based on the original General Post Office. It does not and cannot do away with the Creator. Therefore, the original creation by the brothers fellowshipping among each other is still in existence. They've never done away with it in all their statutes. Every time they come up with a new statutory entity, they never do away with the general post office. Therefore, it still exists. The general post office is not mentioned in the domestic mail manual because the domestic mail manual denotes commerce. Everyone's presumed to be commerce, but it's only a presumption. And that's where you come in and rebut that presumption. You rebut it by not engaging in commercial activity and not receiving your mail at an address, etc. Most people don't realize that when you receive mail at an address or even a post office box, you're receiving a free benefit for Caesar. There were actually two different general post offices. The Postmaster General today wears both seven hats, as about seven different entities to the postal system exist. He wears the original hat as a caretaker of the original general post office. He also is a caretaker of the general post office that was created on February 20, 1792, which was a governmental business. The Act of February 20, 1792 was made detailed provisions for the post office and also established a separate general post office for governmental purposes. Chapter 8, an act to establish the post office and post roads within the United States, Section 3, and it be further enacted that there shall be established at the seat of the government of the United States a general post office. Note that this one-page statutory creation by Congress established that general post office for governmental business at the seat of the government of the United States in Washington, D.C., the general post office, which already exists, was never designated as being replaced or repealed in this act. Okay? Now, and that has not been repealed in any acts that follow. Therefore, it still remains in existence, separate from governmental business set up by this act. Today, the stamp on an envelope pays for delivery of that envelope from the sender's post office to the receiver's post office. It does not pay for the cost when the envelope leaves the area behind the clerk's desk and gets delivered to the receiver's address, mailbox, post office box, mail slot, etc. This is a free service. The alternative to free mail delivery is to receive all postal matter, either in general delivery or through the general post office. The only duty of the postmaster is getting the mail through, not delivery at the general post. General post is your post office, and you are the postmaster at number 9998, and you must go there to the post office to claim the mail matter. Okay, now the reason why I read that to you is because once you become the executor of your estate by taking advantage of the birth estate, we're going to have to make sure that we take this out of the U.S. commerce game. We're going to have to take it out of the commerce game and put it in a private sector. We're going to do that through a well-established medium under the Postmaster General, and then we're also going to make contact with the governor of the state in which you live, and as well as the secretary of state in which you live, and I'm going to tell you what we're going to be giving them, okay? But as for right now, I just want to bring that out to you because that's a very, very vital part in what we're going to do. Okay? All right. Now, we're going to come back to that, but let's move on to the next thing because I'm trying to give you as much of this as I can. For those of you who have the library, this information is already there, and I'm pretty sure I've had several people call me today, and they've already gone to a part in there, and they've already gone to work on this. All right. Explanation of your new postal location. Name, estate, all caps, name, estate. See estate name, section above, for instructions on constructing your proper estate name. When the estate name is used in the estate mailing location, there should be four spaces left between the middle and last name, except for John Quincy Jones Estate. The IRS puts in the four spaces when issuing an EIN to the estate. All right, just want to throw that little bit right there in. Now let's get down to the crux of the matter here, and this is a major point that we're about to bring out, and we'll be coming to you today with the with your estate, and we're going to give you a breakdown on this estate. And we're going to give you some very, very important information in regards to it. But right now, let me get over here first, because I got so many points that I'm going to try to make here in regards to this thing. We're going to deal with what's known as the executor letter. And keep in mind, this executive letter is point by point. And we'll get a complete and total breakdown of this thing so that you will know how to go about using this, okay? All right, let me move on back here with this. And, okay, so let me see what we have going on here. Just hold on. Okay. Now, let me give you the general information about the estate. When you were born, a certificate of birth was created with your all caps name, which was the creation of an estate by the all caps name. The word estate is deliberately left off the all caps name on the birth certificate to hide it. The all caps name is an unincorporated association, an estate. The all caps name is a descendant. The estate was created for your benefit and use with you as the grantor by placing your landmarks, footprints on the certificate of birth, and you are still alive. Your parents are the creator of the estate. They created you. A marriage is a trust. When a birth occurs, the mother is coerced into signing the birth certificate as a trustee. So now, the entities of the world can go after the trustee. The birth certificate refers to her as the informant. Your first lawful act was putting your footprints on your birth certificate, and after that, you were in the world. Being in the world has to do with being legal, not lawful. The corporate state did not create the estate. The grantor did so with the footprints on the documents. The estate died, and your father and family, you become an executor in the executor office. You are an earthly estate walking around. The grantor continues to live. When he or she dies, a certificate of death will be issued. The certificate of birth, a live birth certificate, is the public record of the estate, and that the estate is probated. It is recognition by world of grantors, footprints, will. Because the seal and signature on the certificate of birth, this is not a prima facie. At first sight, on the first appearance on the face of it, so far as can be judged from the first disclosure, presumably a fact presumed to be true unless disproved by some evidence to the contrary. Black's Law Dictionary, 4th edition. Proof. Rather, is certified proof finished, adjourned, done, a judgment that the estate has been probated. It must be an estate because a trust cannot come before an estate. A trust can only exist if there is already an estate in existence. The address of the estate is the file number on the birth certificate. The estate resides at the file number. The estate is restricted to the file number. It cannot move anywhere else. When asked, where do you live? Right here. Where are you belongings? I am homeless. They cannot discriminate against you when you say you are homeless because you are saying you have no corporate residence. A copy of the birth certificate is proof of the estate. Other proofs of the existence of the estate are bills, mortgage papers, credit reports, driver's license, etc. that have the all caps name. Never use a Social Security card as identification. The Social Security Trust is what they are using against you. Note, a certificate of citizenship or naturalization. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is very, very important for us to understand because we are got some people have some, in my opinion, some misunderstandings about naturalization and naturalization. A certificate of citizenship or naturalization certificate is not a substitute for a certificate of birth. A certificate of citizenship does not create an estate. So a person who has been naturalized does not have an estate. If he comes from a country that does not issue birth certificate, if a man marries a woman who becomes naturalized in America, the wife's Social Security Trust comes under the husband's estate. If you do not have a certificate of birth, you cannot occupy executor or executrix office. If the country where you were born belongs to the International Monetary Fund, there's a good chance there is an estate. If the name on the birth certificate is in all caps or has a bond number on it, that's a good indicator of an estate. Our bodies are composed of mostly water and the remainder from the earth. We are each walking, talking, independent island, country, nation, or independent state. Estate status. Okay. Now, I think that is about as clear as it can be made in regards to the birth certificate as being an estate. And the next point that I'm going to go to is start dealing with the instrument by whereby that we are going to begin to execute the use of our powers as executor of our estate. But before I do that, let me make another announcement. I want to start out by saying we're also offering our 14th Amendment Exposed and the Commerce Game as well this evening. The way you access that is simply by sending me an email at tahaka99@yahoo.com. That's TARAHAKA99@yahoo.com, and I'll send that to you as an email attachment, and that gives you a great deal of background information on what you're about to deal with, because once we get a hold to putting this executive estate into motion, we're going to have some other information. Now, I put in the advertisement that I was going to need everybody to have pencil and paper with you, and so I need you to write down, if you would, my name, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, as I've spelled it out to you, TARAHAKA, Amana, AMAANA, and then L. Bay, E-L, and then B-E-Y, I'm sorry. And that is for you to contact me in regards to our connection, especially on Facebook. Now, also, I'm going to need you to write down the following, because I'm going to need you to go and get a trust manual. You need to get you a trust manual. And what we're going to need is all the rules and regulations of how to handle a trust. Because, see, stepping into this position involves knowledge, especially if your estate is ever challenged. We have to understand that when you become the executor of your estate, you never want to claim ownership of anything. All of your possessions, which includes your children up to a certain age, are all part and parcel of your estate. You understand? If you own an automobile, that's part of your estate. If you own a house, that's part of your estate. So when someone comes after you, you have instruments in place where you've been removed out of the way, and they have to deal with the state. Now, the only way that they can deal with the estate is if you are giving them permission to deal with the state. Otherwise, they have absolutely no authority to deal with anything, any part of your estate without your permission. This is a very, very powerful a position to be in. So I'm encouraging you to get a trust manual and learn everything you can about handling the trustee. I need you to get a trustee manual. And those are the rules and regulations and guidelines of people that you can delegate to handle certain aspects of your estate. Because we are talking about a great deal of power, and we are actually talking about an extremely large amount of money. And this is a step-by-step process, and we're going to get, later on, we're going to get down into dealing with using your signature in place of using cash and using the power of your estate. Okay? All right, so we're going to need the trustee manual. And once you write that down, and you can Google that and find that right there online, you can get you a copy of that and examine that. But everything else that you're going to need is, actually a lot of that is right there in the library as well, especially the signature part of making purchases with your signature. All of that is put there in the library for you. It's already there. It's not only in book form, but it's also in video form for you, audio, video, right there for you. And this information that I'm telling you now on the state, that's there on audio for you as well. And the reason I did that is try to make sure that I put you in a position, in a no-lose position, so that you can do and take advantage of everything you have to do and make sure this thing works for you. I'm not into wrestling with problems. I'm only interested in solutions to problems, okay? And that is why I work tirelessly for my people, because of the overall conditions that we are in inside the United States. And I'm just doing my part in helping my brothers and sisters so that they can make the necessary changes in their life and they can get some living out of life, okay? Now, let's go on to the next part. I'm going to discuss what's called the executive letter, okay, the estate letter. But before I give you the breakdown on that, now keep in mind that the stuff that I got here, all of this comes straight out of Tahaka's library, and I cannot give you or show it to you, so I'm having to do the best I can in reading it to you so that you can get a gist of what's going on here, and so you'll be able to use as much of this as you can, okay? All right, so now I'm going to the next part here. All right, now, before I give you the breakdown on the executive letter, I'm going to give you some examples of people who have took advantage of this opportunity, who has used it, and what has taken place as a result of them using this. Example number one, child custody case. A husband and wife going through a nasty divorce was involved in a child custody case. Wife had brought baseless but damaging allegations against the husband. Wife hired a lawyer. Lawyer turned out to be the son of the judge hearing the case. Child services got involved and decided that the husband could only see the children under supervised visitation for 20 minutes once a month. It was clear that the wife was going to be the awarded full custody of the children and the court hearing. Father filed documentation that he was the executor of the estate. When the parties went to court, the father was recognized as executor of the children's estate, and the children as property of the father's estate. Father was awarded custody of the children. The next day, the judge's caseload was stripped from him. He seems to be removed from the bench. Lawyer has disappeared. Governor of the state has dispatched two special agents who have contacted the father to the county, apparently to put the court system back together again. Example two, man on trial, set free, and case dismissed. A man in jail awaiting a trial the next day called his wife, who had received a sample of the executor letter. Wife reads executor letter to husband, who writes down every word. Man writes out executor letter in longhand and signs in front of notary. Man goes to court next day and presents executor letter to the judge. The judge reads the letter and immediately instructs the bailiff to release this man and get him out of the court. Man goes free and case is dropped. Okay? Example three. Man accused of practicing law without a license, get out of jail. A man who was charged with practicing law without a license was sent to jail. He presented the executor letter and got out of jail. At least two cases have been reported where foreclosures were stopped using the executor letter. And another foreclosure was stopped in Maryland just before he went to press. Stop garnishment and taking the payroll taxes. This man had been garnished by the Internal Revenue Service three times. He sent the executor letter to the CFO of his company. The day after the company got the letter, everyone suddenly started acting cold toward him. He got an EIN for his estate with him as executor. His immediate boss came back from vacation and was not as friendly as usual, but he gave her the EIN for the estate. She took it and was shaken. She reads to the guy is dead, and yet he is the executor of the state. She sent EIN to corporate. The man gave her another copy of the executor letter and told her to inform the payroll that he had no authority to deduct anything from his state property, his check, other than medical insurance premium payments. The next business day, everyone at the company is once again talking to him and calling him sir, even though he is not management. This is the way this thing goes. When I read to you earlier about the post office, what that does is that's going to put you out of a particular jurisdiction, and by you finally for the first time in your life acknowledging the fact that you are taking advantage of an existing estate by naming yourself as the executor. In the executive office of an existing state, and you have this in writing, you have you no longer have an address. Your address is at the general post office, which is different from the commercial post office and the ones that are acting in commerce, little small post office. You're out of there, no post office boxes, none of that. Everything is right there, which the address. And zip code is the Postmaster General. Okay, now you've also taken your letter, your state letter, after you've crafted it, and you've sent it to the governor of the state in which you live in. And then you've sent another copy of this letter to the secretary of the state in which you live in. So now everything is in place after you have crafted this thing. And I can try to do the best I can to tell you a little bit of it, but the whole thing is laid out for you right there in Tahawkins Library, and so you can see it for yourself. But basically, the gist of what we are dealing with is we are dealing with an instrument in a single letter, which has been there all the time, on something that was created for you. The prophet Noble Drew Ali has already told us, do not get rid of your driver's license, your birth certificate, and all these things. All of this stuff is going to serve a purpose for you. And I'm trying to make an effort here to stop brothers from going down. They're doing all kind of things. They want to make legal name changes and all of these things. And we'll try to put a stop to that. Well, stay where you are. I mean, that's the name your mother gave you. You just hold on to that, you'll be able to use it. Now, if you have a sovereign name, that's fine. You got that sovereign name, you exercising that sovereign name, you're using that sovereign name, you're going by that sovereign name, but now there is a name that you were given that's attached to an estate that is worth millions of dollars, and we want to hold on to that. And when we begin to act in commerce, we want to exercise the office of the estate. We don't want to exercise ourselves. We want to exercise the office of the estate, okay? And we want to use that. And just like the prophet Noble Drew Ali say, don't throw your Bible away. Because what we have today inside the United States that they're calling commerce, acting commerce, all the rules and regulations and guidelines and all that stuff comes straight out of your Bible. And that's what they're using, okay? And when we understand that, then we are able to do this research from a whole different position, and we are able to look at things in a whole different light. Okay. Now, let's go on to the next stage, and we're going to give you a brief synopsis of what it's like to go ahead and get that that letter crafted up that we're talking about, and it's called the executor letter. And it is a very, very interesting document, and it is the document that you're going to use to send to the places that you're going to send it at. Now, once you get this stuff done, then you are going to make copies of you, make multiple copies of this. And any time that you're dealing with the bank, any time you're dealing with the sheriff department, any time you're dealing with the court department or whatever have you, we already learned in previous broadcasts and previous teachings that I've given you that the court does not have status and jurisdiction. The lawyers, the attorney, prosecuting attorney, the judge, they are all members of the same club. They are members of the bar. And a lot of people call them barflies. They're a member that, and they have no status and jurisdiction over the people that have themselves together. So the first thing you want to do is you want to, if you ever have to go down there, and you want to challenge the status and jurisdiction of the court, but you also want to present them with your identity. You want to take a copy of that letter down there. Do not inform them ahead of time that you're going to bring that in there. Now, you can send them a letter and let them know that we have a problem about in capital letters, but you will be showing up. And when you arrive, then, of course, you just give the judge that there and let him take a look at it. And then at that point there, because, see, what they've got you, what they're doing is they have assumed jurisdiction over you. But when you arrive with the fact that you have assumed jurisdiction of your existing estate, then that means that you did not authorize them to take any jurisdiction over your estate. You have not authorized them to take advantage of a trustee situation. You haven't authorized that. So now we have a problem, you see. They do not have status and jurisdiction. Once you challenge the status and jurisdiction of the court, that sticks to court right there, point blank. You mention them capital letters and say, well, look, this is all capital letters. That indicates a corporation. That's not a living, breathing being. That's not a person. You and I both know the difference between a proper noun and an improper noun. And so when you do that, that's going to stop me or postpone it. It doesn't matter. But when you come back, you make sure you put that executive letter in the hand. Same thing with the with anybody that you're dealing with, because if you're going to exercise an office, you want to exercise it with power and authority. And the only power and authority of the office of the executor is the office holder himself, which is you. Nobody else is authorized unless you authorize them through power of attorney to exercise any authority in regards to your estate. You follow me? Okay. Now I'm going to briefly try to give you this as quickly as I can. At the top of your estate letter, you're going to have your name. If your name is John Williams, you're going to have John Williams, double space, and your estate. Okay, you're going to have executor office, the nation, which is the state in which you live, the general post office address with the zip code of the post office in a dash and the following numbers, 9998. And these numbers are going to be in brackets on both sides, okay? Now, over to the side. Right down in the center section, you're going to put done by the light of the day. You're going to spell out the word to, and the alphabet. And all. You're pretty much just going to have to see this for yourself. I'm doing a terrible job of trying to explain this thing to you. But we got it all outlined for you in boxes with the arrows pointed and everything so that you'll be able to step by step follow this to the letter. And we also have about 8 pages giving you step-by-step instructions on how to craft this estate letter. And also, we have the manual telling, giving you all the breakdown, all the background history, who to send it to, who to talk to, how to handle yourself with it, how to rebut any challenges. The whole ball of wax is right there for you to use. And all of that is right there in the library. And the way to access that is simply by contacting me at area code 904-303-9061. And please call me before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time if you would. Now I'm going to come back to the letter, but let's go back down here and deal with something else in regards to your estate. And handling a state or something like this, this kind of power of this magnitude is going to involve us doing a little research until this thing becomes second nature. Because from then on, everything that you sign, you will no longer sign your name as James Williams. You'll sign your name as James Williams Estate. You follow me? If you sign an insurance policy, James Williams Estate. If you sign up for, you're getting your driving license renewed, James Williams Estate. If you're getting a new tag on your car, James Williams Estate. You see what I mean? Because you have an estate now, and you got proof. Now, under no circumstances are you ever under any obligations to bring in a verification of your estate. You don't have to supply anybody with any copies of your birth certificate. And don't do that. Now, let's deal with how to respond to inquiries about the estate. If anyone asks questions about the estate, say, I cannot answer that. It is a private estate, and I'm duly bound to non-disclosure concerning the business of the estate. If someone demands the death certificate of the estate, produce the birth certificate with the registrar's seal and signature on it if you have to. If they say it's a birth certificate, as if they can read the seal and signature on the document. The registrar is the probate court. Bouvier. The seal on the birth certificate is factual evidence that the estate has been probated. If judge or someone says you did not go to court to become the executor, the executor, show them the BC and point out the seal on the registrar that proves you did go to court. That's just a classic example, and that should never be challenged if you do this thing right, because you're carrying the weight of the governor of your state, the postmaster general, as well as the secretary of state. And when you send this letter to these people, before you send it to them, make copies. Any response you get from them, make copies and put it in your file, and that's pretty much all that you will need. Okay? All right, now, let's go on to another point. But before I do, we've come down to the end of the first hour, so I'm going to make my announcements again in regards to the brother Marvin McCoy. He does an excellent job on computers. And he's right here locally here in Jacksonville, Florida. And the brother does remote assistance to take over your computer. It doesn't matter where you are inside the United States. His telephone number is area code 904-517-4688. And he's right here locally across the street from Gateway Shopping Center in the big flea market there. He's in lot C1 and lot C2. He does the XL Gamers, Xbox, PlayStation, computer repair, game modification, discounted game packages. He mods the box and all that stuff. He also builds computers from scratch. Marvin is working Wednesday through Sunday from 11 a.m. until 8 p.m., but you can always contact him Monday through Sunday by calling him at area code 904-517-4688. That's Marvin McCoy. Then we have on the 19th and 20th, we have Dr. Booker T. Coleman will be here in Jacksonville, Florida, right, and is accompanied by Brother Joseph Coswell. They'll be here at Absalom's Bookstore, and that's located at 1625 North Pearl Street. And for those of you who will be passing through Jacksonville during that time period, if you want to stop off and attend this show, you can call ahead at area code 904-359-0980, or you can go right there online at www.salammasjid.com. That's the 19th and 20th of May. Dr. Booker T. Coleman and Brother Joseph Coswell will be right here in Jacksonville, Florida. And don't forget, brothers and sisters, I'm offering you free reports, the 14th Amendment Exposed, as well as the Commerce Game, and you can get that by emailing me at tahaka99@yahoo.com. Also, I want to say something about Brother Umar Sharif. He'll be handling your tickets in Bob and Dr. Booker T. Coleman. He has books, CDs, and DVDs, educational, Black Soap, wow, moisturizing lotion, 100% imported oils, African gold, black stone, hair pomade, incense. He has very, very good perfume and cologne oils and stuff for the ladies as well. And he's located right here at 1625 North Pearl Street, and you call him at area code 904-359-0980. And last but not least, Brother Marshall Shelley, and he is involved in computer repair. He can take over your computer. It doesn't matter where you are in the United States. You simply call the brother at 757-218-0731. That's Marshall Shelley. He's offering computer repair, installation, network installation, data recovery, virus removal, upgrading. He also will custom build you a computer. That's Marshall Shelley, 757-218-0731. Okay, and don't forget now what I told you about the Facebook situation and Dig and MySpace and Black Planet. We're coming up with our own website now, so you'll be able I'll be able to send you there, and you'll be able to go there as much as you want, and we'll place a ton of information about any of this kind of business and all of that stuff. All right. Now, one point I want to make out in regards to that executor letter, it must be on legal size 8x5x14 paper, and it's best to use a color laser printer. There's no such thing as a legal document 8x5x11 papers. Congressional bills are presented on legal size paper. We are not going into the courts, so we do not want to use the 8x5x11 paper they use. The courts use 8x5x11 because they are no longer lawful. A legal courts, okay? I just want to point that out there to you. All right. Let's take a look at the certified document. At the bottom left of the document where it says certified document, do not enter the certified mail number. It is already affixed to the letter, okay? And I'm just briefly going over this. You're going to have to actually see this for yourself, so that you would know exactly what I'm trying to tell you. I was just trying to give you the full gist of what we're dealing with in regards to taking advantage of the estate. We are dealing with a single letter, and when it comes to your assets, now it says here, send the executor letter to the DMV for car title. They will no longer have any jurisdiction to impound it. Change mail location on the car title. Sign a citation with the by signature and prepare and execute a letter and return the citation to the state court administrator with the letter. Bank irregularities. If a bank does something improper regarding your bank account, address the executor letter to the chief counsel of the controller of currency. Okay? Bankruptcy court issues. If in a bankruptcy case, you can stop it with the executor letter. If there's an IRS issue, clear that up first. In bankruptcy, submit an executor letter on all underlying financial issues, then present the letter on the bankruptcy to the court administrator for the BK court, and it will be dismissed immediately. The BK trustee will get word of it when the first executor letter goes out, and may dismiss the bankruptcy right away. Property taxes. Notify the property taxes district. May eliminate property taxes. Mortgage foreclosures. In a foreclosure in a non-judicial state, address the executor letter to the state court administrator. Copy the letter to the attorney who sent the foreclosure letter, the CFO of the foreclosure bank, and the governor and attorney general of the birth state and state where the property is located. Your bank does not like you changing your mail to general post because they can't come after you with a foreclosure or for late payments. You can tell the mortgage bank in a foreclosure situation you are hereby warranted by the executor office to cease and desist the sale of the property. This matter is hereby adjourned. Okay, now what this all boils down to is not only having the letter, and it's something I really want you to understand. You not only have the letter, but you are enforcing the power of the use of the letter, and you're doing it with authority, and the only way that you can do that is you have to have the knowledge of what you're doing. You're going to have the knowledge which will impart you the confidence of how to use this new thing that you have pretty much had in your possession ever since you were born. But now you are actually using this right here to make the necessary changes in your life and to stop all of these taxations and stuff because you have stepped out of ward status and you have stepped into corporate status. You understand me? You're being regarded by the courts, the sheriff's department, the jail, and everybody is regarding you as citizens of the property of the citizens and regarding you as wards of the state and property of the citizen. But now what you're doing is you're exercising the power of your estate. You're exercising the power of your own office to an existing estate. You follow me? So, therefore, the more you know about handling what you have to handle in regards to using the power that you have, the more that you can do. You can learn other things that you can do. That are not listed here, but these are just some of the things that you can do. But there's much, much more that you can do once you master the art of using what power you do have. Let's take a look at a disability. If you are denied Social Security disability, send the executor letter to the Chief Counsel of Social Security. Order them to issue the disability. Reference the claim number. You are hereby warranted and directed to approve and issue the disability claim in full. This matter is hereby adjourned, okay, as executor of the estate. Okay? You follow me? All right. Internal Revenue Service. If the IRS seizes a sale property, look for a letter for the manager of ACS, Automated Collection Service, a district director to send a copy of the letter to. When asked by the Internal Revenue Service to bring your records, bring a box of phonograph records, taped up, and marked outside private estate records on all six sides of the box. They will not open the box. That's incredible. We ain't going that far. But anyway, you get the gist of what's going on here. Now, the children, the executor can order the return of a child to the state. Okay, if you are voting, if you change the mailing location at the election office, you can no longer vote. You are now in the status of elector instead of voter. The executor letter cannot be used to secure the release of prisoners where there has been an injury to another person or property. Okay, effect of executor status on receiving Social Security check. And this goes on and on and on. U.S. Treasury, who has acknowledged the name, is deceased, sends his name, Social Security check to the General Post Office every month. Even though as a descendant on the Treasury document, the all caps name is the descendant. It is not corporation. It is a company. if it is anything. The estate is under the birth granting. The benefits are under the Social Security Trust. The two different statutes, one does not affect the other. Notify the Social Security Administration of your change of mailing location. In the Oh, By the Way department, always get a paper check mailed to you instead of direct deposit. The face value of the check is not the full value of that security instrument. It is the public side representation. The private side of that check is at least 20 times the face value. Sometimes in the future, we will show you how to submit these checks and receive a check back for at least 20 times the face value and get the check returned to you so you can cash it. Okay, this is just a gist of what's available to us here in this particular era. So I'm going to go on. There's much more to be said about what you can use this thing for, but I'm going to leave it to you. And I have skipped over a lot of information. I'm going to go on to the next part, in which is verbally presenting and enforcing your position and execute a will in a court. Now, we've always told everybody to try to stay out of there. We don't want to go up in there. But there are times when we feel that we must be compelled to go there if we don't want to be a capious issue for us and all that kind of business. You know how they do that thing. And so, therefore, we're going to have to do what we got to do. Okay? Now, once you send the executor letter, the issue is not how the executor enforces his position. The issue is that they now cannot enforce their position. Remember that where the estate is concerned, there is no plaintiff or defendant officers, because the estate does not subject itself to a court. They can't come after the estate because it is de jure. They are de facto. When a JS-44 civil cover sheet is filed in a court case, it is in relationship to the Social Security Trust account. If possible, you should mail your executor letter to the court administrator and other appropriate parties before the court appearance. Now, this is something that I've already talked to you about. In earlier broadcasts, you remember I told you anytime you receive something from the court and it has you listed as you owe them something, you got to demand that you appear in court and all this stuff, the first thing to look at is the name, address, city, state, and zip code on there. And if it is in all capital letters, that's the first thing you want to challenge them. You want to make a copy of what they have sent you. You want to craft a letter and send that along back with a copy of what you have copied and staple it together and mail it back to the same people that sent it to you, pointing out the fact that they had the wrong person because it's in all capital letters. But now we're going to take it a step further right here. Okay, now. After sending the executor letter to the court administrator, you should appear in court if required to do so. Just go and sit in the front row of the gallery behind the prosecutor outside the bar. And when the case is called, just hand a copy of the letter to the prosecutor, not the judge. Do not enter the bar. Now, you remember what I told you about going through that little gate? We got the floodgate in front of you, and then we got that little gate. That's the bar. You don't step over there because you step on off the land of civil law into the waters of maritime admiralty law, and you ain't got no life raft on, so you're around. So you want to make sure you watch these little steps. And he's actually putting it in place right here. Say I'm occupant of the executive office to that estate. Spell all caps name estate. Do not state your name because that identifies you as a defendant. Stand outside the bar and inform the judge you, as the executor, are not claiming benefit or coverage under the Federal Sovereign Immunities Act, but is his duty to recognize the act. The estate is, in fact, the state being described in the act. Change of mailing location proves the estate is foreign. Okay, So that means that you're completely out of the jurisdiction. It doesn't have status out of jurisdiction, so therefore you cannot go to adjudication. Never tell your attorney that you are presenting the executor letter. Drop the bomb in court, and they will back off. Saying the wrong thing in the courtroom can withdraw the executor letter. Being escorted by a gunslinger inside the bar is okay. Just notify the court that you are being compelled at gunpoint and feel for your life. If you find yourself in court and inside a bar, make your statements such as those below and ask questions. Try not to engage in any other conversation or arguments when in court, whether or not you already presented the executor letter. As soon as the case is called, announce the following to the court by addressing the opposing case. I am here in my proper capacity as occupant of the executor office of the all caps name estate. If asked who appointed you executor, just hand them the birth certificate. Now, we won't have to go that far, but just in case, because the case should be dismissed once you give them the estate letter. But you may have some hard nuts. Now, you remember I told you to stay out of the local courts. If you receive something from the directing you to the local courts, and as the executor of the state, send a letter back letting them know that you need to have this thing moved up to the federal courts. And once they get that letter anyway, you probably won't have to go there in the first place. But anyway, we'll move on to the next point. But the gist of what I'm trying to show you is the power that you have as executor of the estate. And keep in mind that everything that we're dealing with here today, all of this comes directly out of our Tonka's library. And the way to get a hold of that is simply by calling me. And this is for people of African descent and Moorish descent. So contact me before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you simply call me at area code 904-303-9061 for those of you who are just tuning in to this broadcast. And we are dealing with the executor letter. Now, let's deal with the value of the estate. Now, you remember when I told you that about the birth bond in the beginning of the broadcast being worth between $30 and $33 million per year, and for every year you birth up to your current age. And the way this birth bond accumulates income is after your birth, after you reach a certain age, you begin to use your signature in commerce. And when you begin to sign for things, you sign for your first apartment, you sign for your car, your first car, you sign for your paycheck, and everywhere you're using your signature. You use it for your getting an ID card. Anywhere that you're using that, you are using that signature in commerce, and that is accumulated. That accumulates your assets, and all this information is explained to you here. And but I don't want to go in detail. I want to try to give you as much as I can from here that you can actually use. And once you get in the library, then you are able to take it out painstakingly and go inch by inch, step by step. You should be using your signature to set off debt as the executor of your estate, and that's when you are be able to use that. But we want to always remember that we want to also be within the confines of the constitutional fold of our own government. And for those of you who are not aware, we have the Moorish American National Government that does exist and is in place. And we have scheduled national conference calls that occur 7 days a week. You dial in at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, in order to learn more about your government, you can go to www.7sealspublications.com. That's 7sealspublications.com. You spell that out, SEVENSEALS, publications.com. And you put your name and address and city, state, and zip code as well as your birthday on the registration form, and that adds you to the census. And there's a, you scroll down a little bit before you click send, and there's a box for you to label all, for placing all your children, your relatives, your uncles, your aunts, your grandfather, your cousins, and everybody right there in that box, and that adds to the census of the Moorish American National Government. You can also go to MoorishAmericanGov.org, and that gives you all the inside information on your government right there. But it is very, very important for you to get to know your government and to get to know their officials, and for the government officials to get to know you. And so, therefore, you want to dial into the broadcast. And the way you do that is you dial 760-569-7100. And the access code is 437-966-pound. Okay? That's 760-569-7100. Access code 437-966-pound. And that's 7 days a week, starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You simply dial into the national conference call, and you give them your information. They will ask you who you are and where you're calling from. You tell them who you are and where you're calling from, and then you *6 your phone to mute it out, and then you get the teaching of a lifetime, and there's question and answer period. You get a chance to ask questions, but the most important thing that you're trying to accomplish by doing that is getting to know your government and for your government to get to know you, okay? The government is on the brink of some major things that's going to benefit the masses. They have now in excess of over 70,000 members that are citizens of this government, okay? And you want to exercise what you already have that was given to you at birth. You don't want to throw away your sovereign name. You want to keep that, but you also do not want to throw away your birth name, because you're gonna benefit from all of this. Just hold on. If you got a driver's license, you got a Social Security card, you got your Bible, you got your birth certificate. Hold on to that. That's assets. Those are your assets. That's what the prophet told you to do. He wants you to hold on to those things. Do not discard these things. Okay. Just hold on to them. Now. Let's see here now. If the attorney, and moving on with after the comments you made in regards to your verbally presenting and enforcing your position as executed while in court, if the attorney gives you any lip or says he doesn't have the written authority, tell him, let's see here now, it says, tell him I understand that the quickest way for you to get disbarred is to screw with the All Caps name estate. Do you plan on screwing with the All Caps name estate? And leave that alone. If the attorney is smart, he will pack his briefcase and immediately exit. Okay. So once again, the estate carries a tremendous amount of weight, but you need to know how to use it correctly. And these are just some classic examples of things that are happening, how to handle yourself. You'll be able to do these things in your own way, and handling your own way based on your own wisdom and knowledge of dealing with various situations. Okay, another approach when going into court from outside the bar. Address the prosecutor adversary, not the judge. I'm appearing here occupying the executive office of the estate. Where is your written delegation of authority from this executor office to administer the estate or the bond for your fraud? Present your authority now. Here is how one man who did not know about the executor letter until just before his trial handled his court appearance and caused the court clerk to abandon the courtroom. Okay, this is how he did this here. Man, which is the defendant in Illinois, involved in a willful failure to file a tax evasion, prepared to execute a letter and mail it to the court administrator, and then file it with the clerk in the case record. Defendant went to court on the first day of the trial and stayed outside the bar. The defendant had been appointed a public defender. When the prosecutor came to the courtroom, the public defender handed him a copy of the executor letter. The prosecutor handed it to the bailiff, who handed it to the judge. Then a flurry of activity ensued. They tried to entice the defendant into the bar. The defendant told them he was occupying the office of executor of all caps name, estate, spelling out the name and not pronouncing it. The court kept trying to entice the defendant into the bar. In other words, come through that little gate. So you're stepping off the land of civil law into the waters of maritime amity law. Over and over, they were trying to get him to do that, but he wouldn't do it. Defendant had the same response over and over. The judge brought in the jury. Defendant kept stating who he was. The IRS agent brought onto the witness stand, and prosecution began entering evidence. The prosecutor kept trying to hand the defendant copies of the evidence, but he refused to accept them. So they put them on the vacant defense table. Thus, the first day of the trial ended. After court, the defendant changed his mailing address with the post office and then notified the court of his new mailing location by notarized letter, by putting it into the court record through the clerk's office. Second day in court, jury came in. A witness was sworn in on the stand, but the clerk was not in the courtroom. The clerk determines whether or not it is a court record. A judge cannot do anything if there's no clerk to file the judge's orders, etc. The absence of the clerk was apparently done due to the change of address. This left the lawyer on their own. The situation creates an automatic win on appeal and a reversal of habeas corpus. The prosecution was laying the exhibits of evidence on the defense table. There was not a clerk to assign them to an exhibit number and enter them into the case, so no evidence was entered into the case. The court took a two-hour recess at lunchtime. Just after lunch, the public defender asked if the defendant would mind if he went over and picked up the exhibits on the defendant's table. The defendant told him not to. After lunch, when the judge came in, the defendant said, "Excuse me, young man," the judge's first name, "the occupant of the executor office of the all caps name estate has some administrative procedures for the court to consider." The judge said, "Fine." When the judge entered the court, he is in an administrative capacity and he has to entertain administrative requests at that time. The defendant told the court that he was there as the occupant of the executive office of the all caps name estate. And as the court, the jury is hereby dismissed, this financial claim is hereby settled, and the clerk is directed to close the file. Then he rapped his knuckles on the bar and said, "Case dismissed. Court is adjourned." The judge says, "You can't do that." The man said, "The occupant of the office of executor just did." He turned around to walk out of the courtroom, and as he approached the door, the deputy marshal approached him. The judge told the deputy to let him leave. Then the court finished the trial again without the clerk. Since there was no clerk present, the court needs the clerk present, and so do you. There was no one to accept the order, but everyone heard what he said in open court. He got a call later that day from the public defender saying that he had been found guilty by the jury, and the judge had revoked his bond and issued a warrant. He should have told the lawyer that the public defender had just been found guilty, because the public defender was the one on trial. It is the lawyer who is on trial. The lawyer in the courtroom can only try another lawyer. There was no defendant in the case. That is why the court say you are an idiot if you go to trial pro se. You are voluntarily putting yourself on trial. That is why they always appoint a standby lawyer, because the lawyer stands in for you. They mysteriously passed the liability on before sentencing. The defense attorney offered to send an investigator out to drive the defendant to court to turn himself in. The defendant laughed and hung up. Why was the public defender warning him of the warrant? If there's a warrant, you do not get a warning. The next day, the defendant went to the county record to record his orders and execute the letter format, in the executive letter format, since the clerk was not in court during the trial. Then he filed them in the case by mailing them. The defendant got a call from the marshal saying the judge wanted to talk to him. The defendant said the occupant of the executive office had nothing to talk about. The marshal said, "Do you mean you do not plan on surrendering?" The defendant said, "I did not say that. I just have some pressing business to take care of." The marshal said, "Get back to me tomorrow." The next day, the local police showed up and kicked in the door. Police cannot serve a federal warrant. They can detain you if they know there is a warrant. The police took him to the city jail and had him incarcerated. Where was the detention order? Only the marshal can do that. The defendant had been at the city jail for over a week. Is working on the lawyer and the judge committing a fraud on the court and will likely be disbarred. Okay. So, once again, it's very, very important for us to know how to correctly do this. Here's a man who took the executor letter in there and had not even finished getting it done properly before he submitted. Even though, in my opinion, I think he handled himself quite well in there, but he should have did it right in the beginning. Remember, the attorneys have two cards to play, both jokers, both of them are jokers, the intimidation card and the deceit card. They use these cards to attempt to get you to cave in. It's a bluff. Enforcement of the executive letter in a court case. Sending the executive letter to the state court administrator said it was not about jurisdiction in the opening case. It was about the bar card. Members perpetrating a fraud against the estate, and that is this issue. So we want to go back and recap on what we're talking about here. And what we're talking about is there is a separation of the office of the estate and you. So what you have to do is you have to make it perfectly clear that anything that is appearing to be directed at you is being directed at the estate, and that they have not been authorized to do anything in regards to the estate because the executor has not given them permission and have not authorized them, and they are not operating in the capacity of a trustee. There has been no power of attorney given. There has been no notarization on any documentation, anything. None of that has occurred. And see, the more you know about how to do these things, the more you know about law. Now, inside the library, we have a section on law, and we have also a section on sovereignty, and there's a tremendous amount of information in there along with this entire system of what we're going over here today. And backup information as well, but there's a lot that you can do. But you will be able to do much better and much more successful when you know what you're dealing with. If you know some things and you're able to stop them when they're trying to throw you a curve. If you're dealing with certain agencies or certain things, because it is their job to maintain the conspiracy. And it started off at birth because your name is on the birth certificate, but they did not add the word estate there. They did not send you a letter making you aware of the fact that you had an existing estate at birth. They've fooled you, your parents at the hospital, and labeled them as informants instead of mother and father of the child. You understand what I'm telling you? So there's a whole lot of crookedness, but you have to understand, because see what these people are doing, they're not practicing law down there. This is not law that you are witnessing down there. They're not practicing law. What they're doing is enforcing statutes and ordinances. And so, but what you want to do is you want to master law. Okay? All right, and the way you do that is by learning. I would like to recommend that, and I need you to write this down on your paper. go and try to get you a copy of Black's Law. And also a book that really goes in details and really gives you some power. If you would get a book that's written by Elihu Pleasant Bay called Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation. And that addresses this stuff involving the your Constitution and what is going on inside the United States and law in general. All of that is right there. And there's both the biblical spiritual principles is there versus the your monetary system and what is going on involving people of African descent that have been denationalized inside the United States. So that is I highly recommend that book right there. Another book that sheds some light on something is the Book of Ali. It was also written by Elihu Pleasant Bay as well. And he is the Divine Minister and Grand National Chairman of the Moorish American National Government. And he teaches on Wednesday nights, and when you dial into the conference call, he's right there. Don't be afraid to speak up. If you got questions, ask the questions. If you got comments, go ahead and make your comments, and because that allows you a chance to interact with your government. Okay. Now I'm going back up here to the front, and we got. We're going to deal with some things here at the front of this information that's available to you in the library. It's going to give you some definitions right off the bat to terminology, and so that you will understand that and definitions of some terms. The first one I want to mention to you is called the general executioner, a general executor. Is one who is appointed to administer the whole estate without any limit of time or place of the subject matter. One whose power is not limited either transitorily as a duration or subject of his trust. Executor, he to whom another commits by will the execution of his last will and testament. That is also an executor. An executor, disuntort, of his own wrong is one who without lawful authority undertakes act of an executor of a person's deceased to make fin executor disuntort the act of the party must be is one unlawful by asserting ownership as taking goods or canceling a bond and not committing a mere trespass. He is in general held responsible for all his acts. Okay, now there are many, many other terms here. Probate, let's deal with that. To act the process of providing a will, to prove before ordinary surrogate, register, or other duty authorized person that a document produced before him for official recognition and registration and alleged to be the last will and testament of a certain deceased person in such a reality. Now, remember at the outset we were talking about the straw man in all capital letters. He was dead the day that he came out. Dead from day one. You go into a cemetery, you look on the gravestones, all the names of the people there in all capital letters. Okay? Let's see. Let's go on to the next one. I'm just briefly running through these, trying to give you as much as I can right here from what we have until you can get a chance to get up in the library and do what you got to do. Estate name, the all caps name, estate. The word does not appear. The word the does not appear on the birth certificate in front of the all caps name. Now, some of you may have a birth certificate with your name in there in all capital letters. Some of you may have one. Like the one I got is in up in lowercase letters. It doesn't matter. The name on that is associated with that estate. Okay, but let's go on here. So all caps name estate are in other places where the word should appear first. Use the all caps name estate. Note the comma or lack of the comma in these examples. Okay, now we're gonna in crafting your documents, you're gonna follow a step by step instructions. We're also gonna deal with telling you exactly where to put a period at, where to put a comma at, where to put a space at, the whole ball of wax, and it's gotta be step-by-step instructions on how to do that is already outlined for you in several pages, as well as on the actual sample. Okay. Executive office. Until recently, everybody has abandoned the executive office and the estates. Once you occupy the executive office, you cannot be considered a called chattel, which means property. I'm going to read that one more time. Once you occupy the executive office, you cannot be considered a called chattel. Why are we authorized to occupy the executive office? When you were born, you were sent the executive office, the birth certificate. And then only three people could get a copy of your birth certificate: you, mom, and dad. Once you reached the age of maturity, 21, you became the only one authorized. As such, one cannot operate as the occupant of the office and then attempt to operate in a different capacity as well, as a trustee, a beneficiary, in a trust, or even in a different capacity, for example, as a damaged party, a citizen, in order to be able to bring a legal action into something that would be termed as a lower court with less power than the executive office. To do this would be indicated of having a double mind. A house divided cannot stand. That is precisely what the BAR, the Barflies, have done to us, lured us into functioning in a trustee capacity under the Social Security Trust. So we are then held liable for the charges. When the executive office is occupied, all lower offices or false offices are naturally bound to perform the highest level of service possible. So the executor is protected and the office is defended. Once you step up and occupy the executive office, then there are no longer any trustee positions. When functioning in the executive office, it cancels out all trustee functions. It overrides them all. However, the executive office can appoint trustees to accomplish certain limited tasks, but can never grant general power of attorney over estate affairs. When you function in the executive office of the estate, you deny everyone from exercising a presumption of authority to administrate the estate. Thus, the executive offices would or should have no reason or need to ever consider a legal action in a lower system, as the office has the authority to submit either an order or a request to lower office enforcement holders to perform creative actions. The executive office is the court, as the sovereign is in equality. Definition of court, Black's Law: the sovereign with their real retinue, whenever they may be, in the executive office. Operating in the executive office entails that all acts or actions of the executor are done to expand or increase the estate and better our fellow man and woman, as commanded by the first executor of the first estate, Yahshua, who we are calling Jesus. Then this would allow the executor to operate in commerce under the normal life with honor and truth in positions of employment or self-exchange, or in no positions if that is in the choice, as long as no harm is caused. Noting that commerce is the law merchant and the opposite of the golden rule. Thus, one is able to operate without needing as much and working with others as an association or assembly, and can operate much more simply and equally with others, executors in exchange. Remember, a trust is a contract, and pursuant to the USA Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, CI 1, no state shall pass any law impairing the obligation of contracts. In essence, an estate or trust contract is private law between the parties thereto. No one, not even the courts, have the authority to look inside the business of the estate. The executor never turns over any estate records. The executor has immunity and only has liability if he or she commits a fraud in the administration of the estate. Showing your footprints is a liability. Show you are the actual grantor. They will never ask for your footprints. It is understood that we have the authority to administer the whole estate, so there is no need to use the title general executor, in defense to executor. See definitions above. By using the words executor or estate, you become the creditor. Creditors have immunity from the debtor. Now, I want to point out to you right now, those of you inside the United States, that, and I know we heard about the difference between a creditor and a debtor. And right now, being in our current status, our wards of the state, so to speak, we are automatically looked upon as debtors and treated as debtors. But when you turn that thing around and put yourself in the position of the executor of your estate, you automatically turn the tables around. You become now the creditor. And so we have to study all of the powers and positions of the creditor and versus the positions of the debtor. When we can understand both roles, then we're able to function fluently in our current position. That is just something I want you to consider taking a look at and studying and exercising so that you'll be able to act successfully when it comes to those two items. Now, okay. The goal desire for becoming the occupant or the executor office for the estate is to come out of the world system and be separated therefrom. Making public notice of taking occupancy of the executive office is not necessary and perhaps not desirable. The king does not need to notice the subjects of his function. Do not make an executive office seal. An executive office seal takes you back into the world. Your signature is your seal. You can use your right thumbprint in red if you wish. To prove that you are the occupant of the executive office for the estate, make a FOIA request under the Privacy Act of the Internal Revenue Service. And the report received back will show you as executor of the estate. Send the FOIA request to the Internal Revenue Service disclosure office. Do not be a representative for the executive office. That is fatal to the functioning in the executive office. We're going to have to learn all these little procedures. Estate as highest court. The registrar in the probate court, not the judge in the probate court, the Great Britain, just as in the United States, the registrar is the court. The probate court is the paperwork at the registrar's office. The probate court just approves what the executor has already done. The executor office is higher than the probate court. The court do not have jurisdiction and personam or subject matter over the estate. The only probate court possible to bring a claim into this one described on the birth certificate, they won't do that. The executor office is the highest office in the trust law and the highest authority. The estates are the authorities. All other courts are courts of inferior jurisdiction. The highest law in America is trust law. Okay? We need to understand that. And that is one of the reasons why I told you to write down and go ahead and get you a copy of the trustee handbook and information on trust. You can get that information out of the library as well. It's in Tahaka's library as well. And various other documents are there for your inspection and tools that you'll be able to use when exercising your authority under your estate. Okay. The executive office is the highest office in trust law and the highest authority. The estates are the authorities. All of the courts are courts of inferior jurisdiction. The birth certificate with the registrar's seal shows that the estate is either in probate or has already been probated. The birth certificate is the certification of a death and the creation of an estate. since the seal and signature is on the certificate of birth that is certified proof that the estate has been probated. It must be an estate because a trust cannot precede an estate. Okay, let's deal with the fiduciary duty, and we're going to deal with that at another time because we're running out of time. I just looked at the clock. I think I'm going to have to stop here. Ladies and gentlemen, it behooves you to contact me in regards to the library, because all of this information is right there for you to actually take and begin to exercise your power as executor of your estate. We have this the manual that I was reading you to you from is approximately 42 pages long, and there's enough materials for you to study. You can print off a copy of it if you want to. It's in PDF format, and there's another 10 to 12 page document in there showing you how to step by step how to craft your estate letter, because you're going to use that in various instances, especially anytime you are challenged in regards to your status as executor of your estate, okay? And all this information is put there for you. It's in Tahaka's library, and the way you access that is contacting me, area code 904-303-9061, and I give you all the particulars of that. There's tons of other information there available for you right in the line of what you need to know in order to carry out the estate that you are about to partake of. Also, there's a gentleman there in a three-hour audio broadcast explaining to you the same thing that I'm telling you, and give you all the nuts and bolts and wiggle pins and all the ins and outs in detail if you need any more information. But this is it in a nutshell right here alone, but there's more available to you right there in that library. Also, there's an additional six videos that tells you after you master this here how to go on to the next state, a stage of actually using your signature to pay for things and dealing with certain situations, because as an executive of your estate, your signature is very, very powerful, and you have to learn how to use it correctly, especially when making purchases and dealing with bill collectors and credit card companies and the banks and everybody else. You'll be able to use that very, very effectively. And we always know that money is power, knowledge is power. And when we have access to that, we'll be able to do it. Now, this information that we have made available, what I suggest you do, and I've been on the phone with brothers and all day long, all the way from Alaska to Alabama, up to Virginia, back down to Miami, and across to Ohio, back down to California, bouncing off California to Arizona, and then back over in Florida again, and going over this thing with them. So don't hesitate to contact me. But I've done everything that I could to make sure that there's enough information available for you so that you would not have to want for anything in regards to making this move. This is a very, very strategic move, and we also want to keep in mind that no matter what we do, we also want to remain in the inside the folds of the Constitution of our own government. So don't forget your national conference calls, and the number to dial again is 760-569-7100. The access code is 437-966 pound, and that's 7 days a week, and you dial in at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm going to close here now, ladies and gentlemen, and I appreciate you listening to me, and I think this is going to do it here. And we'll come back later on with a different subject along these lines. Make sure that you get this whole thing down to a science here in regards to your executive estate and your powers in your new position, and how to use what you got to get what you're trying to accomplish. Okay, and I've been your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, And until next time.
Why you wanna do it?